Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is Wednesday, September the 27th, 2017. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. I'm joined today by my co-host, Florian Geyer. Florian, how are you doing?
I'm doing very fantastic. Today is the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, so I wanted to wish my Orthodox brothers and sisters a happy feast day, and I'm glad to be joining you here as well.
Well, I hope you enjoy your feasting, if that's what's involved in it. Is it feasting and merrymaking?
Feasting and merrymaking in the spirit, indeed.
Excellent, excellent. You know, sometimes these pagans say that we don't have a lot of fun. Well, we do. We merrymaking and we feasting, and all we used to have regular feasts to do with the church.
Absolutely.
In the Middle Ages. It wasn't all fasting and penance. There's a lot of feasting and merrymaking as well. Anyway, what we wanted to really talk about today is why Antichrist means anti-white. And this is sort of inspired because I've been seeing a lot of anti-Christian comments in comment sections from people that are claiming to be nationalists, claiming to support the white race, claiming to be pro-white, and yet they'll make anti-Christian comments. And they claim to be aware of the Jews and aware of the Talmud, but I really don't think they can be, because this anti-Christian, the idea of being anti-Christian and knocking Christians and Christ himself, it all comes from the Talmud. That's where it originates from. Now, there's a website called The Talmud Unmasked, which is based on a book. It's a Catholic priest that's written it. And basically, he summarizes just some of what's written in the Talmud. And I've got a list here, and it basically, this is stuff that I have seen in comment sections that so-called white nationalists are putting there. Number one, it says good must not be done to Christians, and you find that whenever you see a video or somebody says something that's pro-Christian, there'll be a load of anti-Christian nonsense just put in the comment section. You think, well, why has somebody done that? Well, it's just because they don't want to be nice to Christians. The second one, it says here, it's not permitted to praise a Christian. Recently, Red Ice did a video with a Catholic vicar in it, a Catholic priest in it, and he was really good, and he was anti-immigration, anti-Freemasons, anti-Islam, and yet, again, there's a load of anti-Christian comments in there. And instead of saying, what a great priest this is, we need more priests like this, you've got people saying, oh, it's a Jewish religion, let's get rid of Christianity, when really they should have been praising him. Again, this is straight out of the Talmud. It's not permitted to praise a Christian. Number three, it says their idols must be spoken of with contempt. And what the Jews do, they say that Jesus Christ is an idol. So Christians are idol worshippers. So when their laws say that the idol worshippers must be exterminated or given capital punishment in their Noahide laws, they are speaking of Christians. Christians must be exterminated because they say we worship idols, and they say that Christ must be spoken of with contempt. And that is exactly what the anti-Christian nationalists do. They will say things like, oh, Jew on a stick. I mean, you cannot get more contemptuous than that. And this is explicitly stated in the Talmud. This is how Jews must behave. So what these anti-Christian nationalists are doing is basically just behaving exactly like Jews. And they claim to be against them. I could carry on here with some of the names that the Talmud has for our most holy people. Jesus, they call him Jeshu, which means may his name and memory be blotted out. Again, this is something that you can hear anti-Christian nationalists saying, making fun of his name. Mary, the mother of Jesus, they call her Sharia, which is dung or excrement. They say that she was a hairdresser, and I've even heard these so-called nationalists repeating things out of the Talmud, like saying that Jesus was the daughter of a hairdresser, and his mother was unclean when Joseph went into her, wasn't the mother of God, she was a prostitute, and all this sort of stuff, which just comes straight out from the Talmud. This Jesus Pandera, that comes from the Talmud.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they mock all the saints.
And it's interesting because if you go back and you read, for instance, the ancient Neoplatonic anti-Christian polemicists, guys like Celsus, you know, these are the guys who first make these arguments. Oh, Jesus is the son of a prostitute and a Roman soldier by the name of Pantera. And I've heard this comes directly from the Talmud. These are the guys who invented that lie, and these are the guys who told Celsus this because he was looking for the enemies of Christians when he wanted to debate them. And I've heard the same thing being said from the lips of esoteric Hitlerists and pagans. And so, indeed, it's not an exaggeration to say that these guys literally quote the Talmud in order to defame Christianity.
Well, I don't understand why they are so anti-Christianity. I mean, I'm not anti our pre-Christian selves. I mean, I'm fascinated by our history myself. I'm interested in the history of the Vikings, the history of the Anglo-Saxons, but I wouldn't call myself a Viking. I wouldn't say I was a Visigoth. And that's essentially what these pagans are doing. When they say we are pagan, it's the same as them saying I am a Viking. You know, pagans don't exist, but we were pagan once before we were Christian. It was the word that was used to describe tribes that had not yet become Christian. And it was the people themselves. Once they became Christian, they were known as Christians. So you had Christians and pagans. And eventually, Christians meant white people. And we were called Christians before we were called Europeans. There wasn't this animosity between them, this hatred of Christians, because the Christians were your brothers. You know, it's like going to junior school and then going to senior school. When we were in junior school, we were pagan, and when we got to senior school, we were Christian. But you can't go back to being a child again, go back to junior school. And part of it certainly wasn't anti-Christian, at least not in Britain. In Britain, when we had Druids, they welcomed over the apostles and the descendants of the apostles, and they gave them land and they let them share the universities. And we became Christian in 170 AD, and a lot of the archflamens of the Druids, they actually became the archbishops, and they were seen as a continuity between the faith that we had before we were Christian to when we became Christian. It wasn't seen as like a sudden break between the two. It was seen as an evolution of our spiritual belief. And if you look at the Bible, if you look at the laws that are in there, they are far more complex and in depth than our pagan beliefs were. It was readying us for the civilization that Europe was to build, which was built upon all these ideas and principles that were laid out in the Bible and laid out in Christianity. That was the source of us coming together as Europe to build our civilization. So, of course, the Jews are going to want to knock that down. Besides the fact they hate Jesus, they hate Christ, they hate Christians, they want to knock down our civilization. And one of the best ways to do that is to destroy the religion that's at the root of it.
Yes, this is it precisely. And I think to speak to the pagans, there's a problem here in that people don't understand how corporate personality or how collectivism or tribalism worked in the ancient world. We've been so infected by individualism that even these guys who claim to be hyper-tribalist don't really have a strong conception of what that actually means. When you were a member of an ancient tribe or a kin group, that meant that you were part of a corporate person. That meant that the tribe, as an entity, functioned as one personality, like a corporation does today. So that means that the CEO, your king, your earl, your jarl, he is the head of the tribe and speaks with the tribe's authority. And so the reason why there was mass conversions is because these tribes, in many instances, converted en masse into Christianity. And what this means is that if you are a pagan and you're saying that, okay, well, I'm rejecting that conversion, that means you are rejecting the actions of all of your ancestors, every single one of the members of your tribe as individuals, as collectives, right? Your nation in its entirety since it converted to Christianity. You are spitting and reducing to them anathema. You're saying that these guys worship foreign gods. You're saying that these guys are spiritually kiked. You're saying that these guys essentially are tools of the Jewish demiurge, as these occultists like to say. So there's that fundamental problem, is that you've abandoned your entire heritage, right? But number two, here's the thing. You can't say that you're a European nationalist. You can't say that you're a white nationalist if you're a pagan, because the foundation of the European supranational identity, okay, or what we could call today as this pan-racial identity, is from Christendom. Gauls, right, and Teutons, okay, did not consider each other to be kinsmen before Christianity dispersed their tribal warfare. Okay, Franks and Picts did not consider themselves to be white people. They saw themselves as separate tribes, of course, more closely related than, say, a Pict and a Slav, right? But there was no looking at Rome and saying, oh yeah, I'm part of them. No. The Christendom is an evolution of the Roman civilizational idea synthesized with the Christian household dominion archetype. What I mean by that is when you become a Christian, you're baptized into a spiritual household, right? And so that's why you can have supranational identification within the framework of Christendom, because these people in these other countries are literally your flesh and blood.
Well, it was the start of the concept of the evolution of the idea of there actually being a white race and the European nations all being brothers. As you say, up until then, they'd just been warring between one another. And once they became Christian, the fact that they were Christian was a source of them stopping fighting. I mean, we've got legends of King Arthur going up to Scotland and he was about to exterminate all the Scots. And they said, look, you can't kill us. We're Christians. We're your brothers. And that's what stopped him from slaying them all. And when the British people became Christian, it had to be by unanimous consent of everybody there, because that was one of our laws. You couldn't change the laws of the island on religion unless you had the unanimous consent of everyone. So that would have meant all the lords and the kings and all their people. They unanimously consented to change the religion. And once they had, then it evolved and they carried on using the same universities and the same things that they were doing before. It wasn't a great big break from the past, and it certainly wasn't allowing the Jews in. If you look at what Alfred the Great wrote about the Jews in the 9th century, he's very anti-Jewish, really anti-Jewish. In the prologues to the Psalms that he wrote, he translated the Psalms into English so that everybody could read the Psalms, basically, and he wrote introductions to them. And in those introductions, it's calling the Jews devils and what they did to our Lord. And whenever they're talking badly about people, he's comparing them to Jews. And we didn't even have Jews in the country back then. We assumed that they had cloven hooves and tails and horns back then. You can see that from the depictions of them. And to think that the religion that we had was somehow against Christianity. I was talking about this with Dr. Johnson earlier. I've just been recently reading Flavius Josephus, The Wars of the Judeans, and it's quite clear in that the kings of the nations around the area used to send money to the Jerusalem temple, and these tribes of Judah, these Israelite tribes, would offer sacrifices up. They would offer sacrifices up for the Romans. They'd offer them up for the Greeks. They'd offer them up for the peoples before that, because this Israelite people were known as the priestly people. They were the priestly people of God that offered up sacrifices for the human being, for the white race, basically. And even though these other nations had their own gods, these totemic gods, they would still send money to keep that temple going and to keep this priestly nation sacrificing for them. And that priestly nation obviously went wrong. They miscegenated, they interbred, they killed Christ. But before that point, you still had this religious group that these other kings used to pay to. I mean, this is something that people probably aren't really that much aware of. But there, even before Christianity, there wasn't this anti-feeling towards what came out of Judea. And when the Romans started persecuting the new Christians at the behest of the Jews, these Christians, a lot of them, came to Britain, because in Britain, Druidry was illegal as well. So you had Druidry and Christianity that were both these illegal religions that were sort of outside the Roman polity, and there was kinship between them. There was kinship between these people because they were the same people. We had Europeans were in Judea, Europeans were in the Levant. You know, what we call Europeans today were in a much larger area than what we talk about today. Constantinople used to be the center of Christendom, and you know, now that's overrun with Muslims, and you could say that the center of Europe is probably somewhere like Brussels. But it was a much wider area, and we were all linked up. And what we think of as our pagan beliefs, really, they weren't that different especially not in Britain. I know with the Saxons, maybe, and the Vikings with their worship of Odin or whatever, but that's just really worshipping the Father, the creator of all. And you can see elements in that that correspond with Christianity. And when they became Christian, they took on a lot of these elements. They didn't just make a huge break with the past. They continued with the same festivals on the same times of year with a lot of the similar imagery that they used because it was an evolution, and they didn't want to just cut their ancestors off. Something that you were just talking about then, Florian, about how when people are anti-Christian, what they're basically doing is turning their back on all their ancestors for the last 2,000 years. They would be shocked, really shocked, to think that in the 21st century, their descendants were turning their back on Christianity and claiming that it was Jewish when over 100 countries, Christian countries, kicked the Jews out. It's only now that we've turned our back on Christianity that we have fallen prey to these Jewish ideas. And of all people, it should be white nationalists that are standing up for Christianity, because we are warned about all of this in the Bible. We're warned about the Jews. The Jews killed Christ. So how can people think that Christianity is a Jewish religion or is any way pro-Jewish? It's been infiltrated now over the last century. It's been infiltrated in a terrible way and it's been corrupted, but we do still have the Bible there, which tells us all about this. You know, if our priests aren't telling us this, we can still